good to be here. We've been looking forward to coming back all year. Thanks for allowing me to be here. What a blessing. Thank you for all the churches that put it on, and thank you all for coming out and driving a distance. Thank you for my wife and children. I thank you for my father who shared the gospel with me, and I trusted Christ by grace through faith through the finished work of Calvary. And some years later, he taught me the grace message. And what a blessing that is. You know, never think you're insignificant. I'll tell you, my father, to brag on him, he's highly educated as far as the world is to says. And he sat down one day with a guy, to be honest with you, as far as the world considers, is not very educated. But my dad said, I better listen to this guy. And he said, Jackie, have you ever heard of the mystery? And my dad listened, and the rest is history. And we've started a church in Weber City, Virginia. Justin and Chrissy's come down there. Justin spoke, and I appreciate him. It's good to be here. I tell you what, that message was great last night, wasn't it? That was a wake-up call. And I took a lot away from it, but here's a couple things I took away from it. I'm a cancer survivor. I had hairy cell leukemia, and I just was thinking, don't wait for things that are bad to happen to you to pray. You know, pray now. Don't wait. You ever think about it? I work for the government, and the government, all they love continual resolutions, don't they? And we're going to continue the budget. We're going to continue to next year. We're always waiting for our paychecks and worried about government shutdowns, and you think stuff like that. Death is kind of like that. They say that the government kicks the can down the road. Death is kind of like, eventually, again, unless the catching up occurs, which David mentioned, eventually you're going to die. I'm going to die. Don't wait till you're ill to begin to apply this doctrine. What glorious doctrine we have here in the Pauline epistles. I often say, we above all people should have the people that understand that Romans through Philemon is to us, and understand that all the Bible is for us, but we got a specific form of doctrine, a heavenly calling. We of all people should have the best marriages, the best relationship with our children, the best relationships with our boss, the best relationships with the people that work for us.
Amen.
I mean, this is our doctrine right here. We got to apply it. Not just a chart, but it's got to be part of our lives. So anyway, I'm happy to be here. That's one thing I took away. The other thing I took away is, don't wait for things to be good to apply doctrine. Apply it when things are going wrong in your earthly circumstances. What a great time to apply it. I thought, and this is not my passage, but I just thought of this last night in Romans chapter 13. You can turn there if you'd like. Verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Paul was ready to go, wasn't he? But he knew it was needful for him to stay. But Paul could say this all those years ago, and you can say it now, and that knowing the time, that now, that's today. That was when Paul said it, and it's today. Now is it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation, a reference to the catching up. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's not, my dad often says this, John, there's not time for strife and envying. There's not, is there? And again, I'm not a proponent of the ecumenical movement, like he said, where they get rid of doctrine and everybody comes and hugs. We stand for doctrine. But doctrine is supposed to make an impact in your life. Do you see? It's supposed to make an impact in your life. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. This morning, I was combing my hair and blow drying my hair, and I thought for a second we forgot the mousse. And if you've ever seen my hair without mousse, it's poofy. And I thought, Allison, did you bring the mousse? You know. And for a second, I thought we forgot it. And Pishy, my youngest boy Joshua, we call him Pishy, he brought the mousse around the corner, and here it is. But instantly, what would the flesh do? Begin to point fingers, begin to blame. The law would begin to say, you forgot the moose. And she would say, you forgot the moose. Well, it was your job to bring the moose. Do you see what I'm talking about? You know what Grace would say? It'd say, come out here with poofy hair and preach the message. I mean, that's what it would say, wouldn't it? You see how it works? It's right there. But a lot of times, and I'm bad at it, we got this chart and we unfold it and we draw, and I thank the Lord for the chart. But we don't apply this in our lives. Again, I love what David said. Our children, our wives, I believe with all my heart, our wives are our first ministry. And then our children. And then our churches. You know what I mean? And I also love what he said about, you know, you guys. Did you know I was one of the shyest guys you'll ever meet? Can you believe that? I would have never wanted to stand up here. But I tell you what, this message is too important. Hell is real. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's literal. It's real. And now's the time. We are eternal creatures. You'll either spend eternity in hell or eternity in heaven. It's cut and dry. And the tracks that he's talking about, I'm guilty of not passing out tracks like I should. I'm guilty of being busy in the ministry and worrying about just the people in our church and forgetting about the people outside the church. You ever thought about that? That's what happens to me a lot. And we can't allow that. Everybody here, that's the other great thing. Once you learn this grace message, you figured out that, hey, the preacher doesn't have dominion over you. God is not speaking through the preacher. He's speaking in his finished work, his finished word right here. And we say that, but then we leave it to the preacher to do everything. Do you see what I'm saying? We got the word. You got the word. And we can preach it. Not just the guy up here preaching, but you guys too. I think that's a blessing. But Ephesians chapter 5. We've been studying the book of Ephesians at our assembly. And what a wake-up call the book of Ephesians is. To start thinking about the eternal perspective. God's eternal perspective. And what he accomplished in Christ, and what he's going to do in you in the future. Just such a wake-up call. But Ephesians chapter 5, let's just start with verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he talks about what being filled with the Spirit looks like. He says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and of the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think about myself. I sometimes can be very unthankful, and I think all of us can, but right there it says being filled with the Spirit is a thankful attitude. Verse 20. 22, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then it goes on to talk about the marriage relationship. And again, I submit to you, I think one of the greatest ways to demonstrate grace is in your marriage. I think right there it is. But then let's get to our text that we were going to talk about. Verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. A funny story. I was not raised a grace believer. I was raised in grace. My dad loved the book of Romans. We kind of stayed away from the book of James. We didn't quite know how to explain it. But my dad raised us in grace. We just didn't really know how to rightly divide. And Allison, my wonderful wife, was raised an independent fundamental Baptist. And I shared it with some of y'all this last night. And the best thing ever happened to me was marrying that woman back there. Actually, the best thing that happened to me was being saved. And then demonstrating grace to this woman right back here has been the greatest blessing of my life as she demonstrates it to me. But when we were getting ready to get married, she was very concerned. Now again, I was not a grace believer, but the way I was raised is you don't get water baptized until it's your idea to do it. You know how the Baptist church will rush you down the church, down the aisle the same day and dunk you. Well, the way I was raised was you don't do it until you say, hey, Dad, I think it's time for me to be water baptized. So, to be honest with you, I never did it. And here I am in my 20s. I'm attending Pensacola Christian College. I meet Allison. And we start to date, and then we get engaged, and then she finally drops something on me. She goes, I won't marry you until you're water baptized. And she was doing what she thought was right. You know what I mean? As an independent fundamental Baptist, she tells me, she goes, I didn't think you were ready to grow spiritually until you were water baptized. So, to be honest with you, at the time, I saw no reason. I compelled. I did it. I got water baptized, and then I got married. And then And then I found out years later that I was already complete in Christ, that I had already been washed, you know what I mean, that I had already been sanctified, that He was my wisdom, He was my righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to go there in just a second. But if you think about this term wash here, He says that He might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water, by what?
The Word.
Think about this. Think about, and you know, another thing I love since I began to understand the issue of the King James Bible, to me, we can go to all the textual arguments about the King James Bible, and I love them all. And I've learned a whole lot from Mr. Ross here and his website. I emailed him the other day, but I feel like I know him because I read all the stuff he has on there all the time. But to me, you could boil it down. It's so simple as this. God, who is just, we know that He's the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, right? God Almighty could not remain just and hold people accountable one day if He doesn't have a perfect word. You ever thought about that? To me, it boils right down to that. God could not remain just and one day hold people accountable if He doesn't have a perfect word, a witness. And He did. He left it here. The King James Bible. In this verse right here, we believe is the preserved word of God. What a blessing to know that you have it. Now that you know you got it, here's the challenge. We got it to put to work in our lives. Do you see? If we got it and we understand it is the power, we got to put this power to work in our life. And that's what Paul's talking about, the washing, not by water, but by the Word. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Doctrine is practical. A doctrine changes the way you think. And it goes all the way back to what Dave Reed was talking about last night. You can view your circumstances through the lens of eternal doctrine. Your circumstances don't change, but the way you view them changes. And that makes all the difference in the Word, in the world, in the Word. So I just thought about a couple verses, and we're gonna look at a couple of points. But our verse is that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Psalms 119, you don't have to turn there, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed whereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." John 15:3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And we understand that in the passage that we talked about in Ephesians chapter 5 there about being filled with the Spirit, and you understand that you are to be filled with the Spirit, but we understand that there's a time that a believer could be a believer and not be under the control of the Spirit, but be walking in the flesh, don't we? We know that can happen. We're not lordship people where we look at someone and say, hey, that person is not demonstrating these fruits that we would judge their fruits to see if they're saved. But we understand that every one of us, there's been a time in our lives that we're a believer, saved, we've trusted Christ, but we're not being filled with the Spirit. We're not under the control and yielding ourselves to the Spirit in our lives. And I love the kind of the sister passages, Colossians 3:16. If you want to know what filled with the Spirit is, Colossians 3:16 talks about let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So being filled with the Spirit is not some hocus pocus thing, but it's letting the Word of the Spirit, letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being filled with the Spirit is yielding yourself to the doctrine. That's what it is. And the doctrine, as you yield yourself to the doctrine, it produces these things in your life. And Paul goes through a series of things that it produces. He talks about marriage. He talks about husbands, wives. He talks about children, masters and servants, and so on and so forth. Being filled, being controlled by the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Being controlled by the Spirit is a mental attitude or viewpoint, God's Holy Spirit working through His Word in your inner man. It's a positive response to the doctrine. I just think that's so wonderful. Every one of us had that opportunity. If you're saved by grace through faith through the finished work of Calvary, through Paul's gospel, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried and rose again." If you believe that, you're saved. And now you have an opportunity to take this doctrine and let it dwell in you richly. And let it change the way you look at things and the way you live. We talk about this ages to come. And we're going to get to this in just a second. How Christ is going to reveal His glory in us in the ages to come and the world without end. Amen. But what about now? He also talks about now, doesn't He? That He wants to He wants to let that grace live in us now. Let's look at a couple passages. The cleansing. Now we know, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Now we know from a positional standpoint, we are cleansed, are we not? All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Peace with God. I love what David said last night. Peace. Peace with the... Hey, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Jerry Jones, I don't know if he's trusted Christ, but let's just say maybe he hasn't. Jerry Jones ain't got nothing on you. You know what I mean? If you've trusted Christ. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You have peace with the Creator of this universe. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. Look at from a positional standpoint in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. We'll start with 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. People love to stop there, don't they? I love what he said last night about the law. They love it, don't they? They love to take the law just right below to where they, you know, the guy, the murderer, he can't go. The bank robber, he can't go. But you know I can go. But he's concluded all under sin that he might have mercy upon all. Let every mouth be stopped, Romans chapter 3 talks about. But verse 10 it says, it talks about this list of things. Then in 11 he says, and such, what's the key word in that passage? Were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. From a positional standpoint, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified, you're complete in Him. You're accepted in the Beloved. I love what it says when he says you're accepted in the Beloved. He means you're accepted as the Beloved. Isn't that unbelievable? I had to confess to David. I said, David, that was the single best message I've ever heard in my life last night. I got to confess. You know what a grace believer, you know, I'm talking for myself. He admitted some failures. I'll miss some failures. Sorry about that. A grace believer, if you ever told a grace believer that they didn't have access by the faith of him or tried to tell them their access was conditioned upon their behavior, we'd say, hold on here a second. And we'd say something to them, and that's true. But yet, we don't even take advantage of the very access we want to fight for. You ever thought about that? That's what I was thinking last night when he was preaching. I'm accepting the Beloved. I got access with confidence by the faith of him, and I don't even take advantage of it. I think about that. That was a convicting message. He could have done an altar call, couldn't he? But from a positional standpoint, we are washed, we are sanctified, we are justified. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. I have three things I'm going to share with you. Number one, this cleansing here, we're talking about a practical cleansing. We're talking about, you're already cleansed if you're trusted Christ, positionally. But there's a time in which we're not walking like we should. We're not walking of the saint like the saints of the Most High God. I love that term, possessor of heaven and earth. You know what I love about right division? People say it chops the Bible up. To me, it brings the Bible all back together. I mean, it's the most amazing thing in the world that God had a plan for the earth. And he has a plan for the heavens. And Paul says, I bow the knee. And what's he say he bows the knee at? He talks about everything coming back together. The things in heaven and the things in earth. I like what he said. Did you know a lot of times I noticed that you ever prayed and you're kind of serious and you prayed sometimes and you're not serious and you're going through the motions. Thanks for this food. Appreciate all that you do. Amen. I noticed that a lot of times when I'm serious, did you know I didn't even realize this till last night? A lot of times when I'm serious, I actually do bow my knee. Did you know that? It's a mental attitude. Do you see? It's. And we're not Catholics. He wasn't meaning that. You know, you got to kneel, stand up, kneel, stand up. But it was a point where Paul was saying he was so moved by what was going on that he bowed his knee. I thank the Lord when we first decided we'd start a church. And I told you how shy I was. My wife and children, and they've always been supportive of me. We started in a hotel lobby, much like this. And I know God's not sanctifying property today, but we went into that hotel lobby and we knelt down as a family and we prayed. And we said, hey, Lord, you know, we want to start a church and so on and so forth. And I thought of that time. And I was, you know, if you think about kneeling, it was my heart attitude. I was saying to the Lord, hey, I want to be used by you. And at the time, I realized that there's no special calling for preachers, but he desires the office of a bishop. But it was just such a blessing. And I thank the Lord and my wife and my children. We got a building now. Would you believe we got a building almost freely, justified freely? I'll tell you what we got. My great aunt approached me at a family reunion. And she said, hey, John, we're going to close down our Church of Christ. We have a Church of Christ. And when I had an opportunity to preach at my grandfather's funeral, after the funeral, she would always approach me and say, John, it's not just by grace, it's by works too. You got to read James, you know what I mean? And I didn't know how to talk to her, you know what I mean, until I started understanding grace and right division, so on and so forth. But she said, I'll give you this building. She goes, I just want you to do a couple things for me. She goes, number one, you got to keep on the song leader. Keep the song leader there. And he was going to a Church of Christ seminary in Johnson City. Make a long story short, I came back to her and I said, hey, listen, I can't do that. I appreciate the opportunity. She goes, okay, I'll boil it down to these two things. She goes, number one, will you keep the picture of the guy who built the building up? His name is Mr. Farmer. Would you keep him up to honor him? I said, I can do that. And she said, it's got to be put on the deed that it's nonprofit, and if you ever sell the building, money can never be given to Mormons or Catholics. I said, I can do that too. So anyway, we got a building, free and clear. It's an older building, but it's free and clear. And so we moved from the hotel lobby into a building. And hey, you know, we know that the you're God's building, you're God's husbandry. But it sure is nice to have a building. You know what I mean? It sure is nice to have a building and teach the word rightly divided. But three things I want to talk to you about. Cleanse your practice with your position. Cleanse yourself by valuing spiritual riches, and cleanse your earthly circumstances with your heavenly eternal purpose. And I'll be quick. But cleanse your practice with your position. This great position should actually it should do something for you as you yield yourself to what God has made you and what God, it should change the way you look at things. And that's what Paul's talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Don't you love that word right there? Dearly beloved. Boy, Paul was, he was willing to spend and be spent for these dudes, wasn't he? His attitude was one, dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. And we know that the Corinthians were carnal, weren't they? He couldn't talk to them like he could the other churches. They weren't ready for some of the stuff. And I don't want to be this way. But look at what he says. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let. That's a grace word, isn't it? Let it. Let it be. Let it happen. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's body and mind. They're perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the practical cleansing here that we're talking about. This word, hey, you're a justified, washed, redeemed saint of the Most High God, accepted in the beloved, all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, and you got all these things. But there's sometimes we don't walk like it, do we? We don't, do we? And Paul's saying, hey, having these promises, dearly beloved, he doesn't say, I've been in law enforcement, I guess, for almost 20 years. I started off as a probation officer. Now I'm a case manager for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And when I was a probation officer right out of college, I would bring in my office, and I have to go through these lists of conditions. You can't drink. You can't hang around people that drink. You can't steal. You can hang around people that steal. You can't have guns. Yada yada yada. We go on. Okay, sign here. And if you violate any of these conditions, I'm gonna tell my secretary, type a warrant for your arrest, take it down to the judge, he'll sign it, and the cops will get you. And you scare them, don't you? And they say, okay, I'll never do these, all right? And he signs it. And then as soon as he leaves your office, he's forgot about it. But what if you were a probation officer, and the probation officer said, he said, come on in, guy. And the guy comes on in, he's been convicted of these crimes, and he says, I'm gonna tell you what, I don't want you to do these things right here, but even if you did them, I'm never gonna violate your probation. Never. They think you were crazy. What kind of probation officer are you? They think you were crazy. But I don't want you to do these things on another principle. And that's what grace is all about. See, grace is not a fear. It's a love motivation. It's on the basis of what I've made you, on the basis of what you are in Christ. Now I want you to make this a reality in your life by grace through faith, as the Word of Christ dwells in you richly. I mean, that's amazing. You're not on probation, are you? You've been exonerated. You're not guilty. You're justified freely. That word freely, it means without cause or merit. You ever notice this? How about this? I always think about this. Without cause or merit, being justified freely by His grace through the redemptions in Christ Jesus. That, to me, Romans 3:19-28 is one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. We got to get that down. You know what I mean? And then we know that God doesn't see any good in us, but He justifies us on another principle outside ourselves, a principle of grace. God in His great love is infinite mercy, rich in mercy, unexhausted grace that is displayed to us in Christ. The love of God is put on display where? At Calvary. You want to look at God's love? Look at Calvary. That's God's love in Christ. But if you think about that, and you think about this great love, that God is, it's unbelievable. Then what we'll do, what I'll do sometimes, is I'll make a person justify me being nice to them. You ever done that? Make your wife justify being nice to you. In other words, why can't I be kind to her and nice to her even if she doesn't deserve it? That's grace, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? And the children and so on and so forth. But a lot of times we want to be justified freely, but we don't want to give grace freely. Do you see what I'm saying? It's more of this practical stuff I'm talking about here. But there's a practical cleansing here that Paul's talking about by this doctrine, by this word. It's amazing. A couple others. Let's look at Galatians. I was thinking about this on the way up. I love what he said about the stream. The stream, this world and this course, Paul talks about it. He says not only is this a time of suffering, but he talks about this as a present tense evil. He talks about it in several places. Evil and the stream that's coming down of Satan's plan and purpose that he has coming down, and we're kind of fighting against the stream. But I thought about all these billboards I saw. I don't know where y'all came from. When I was coming from Tennessee, I've never seen so much perversion in the billboards. I couldn't believe it. This and that and this and that. And I was thinking to myself, you know, people think that when they enter into that, whatever that is, and they're going to that store, going to that, whatever that facility might be, they think they're free. But actually, they're not free, are they? They're held captive, aren't they? They put themselves in that river. See, that's what the world's doing today. They think their mind is free and we're free to think how we want. They're not free at all. They're in the captivity of the Satan, aren't they? And they put themselves in that river and they're flowing right down it. And we're trying to fight up the river and we want to grab them and take them with us up the river. But look what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave Himself for, I love that word for, don't you? For our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. We're delivered from this present evil world, and we're not to put ourselves in this present evil world. That's what I love about, did you know, you ever seen the Music Man? It's an older movie. It's probably in the 40s or 50s. There's this guy that comes to town and he sells all these instruments. And he tells them, hey, buy the instruments and I'll teach you how to play them. And turns out he doesn't know how to play anything. And so everybody buys the instruments and he's getting ready to skip town and get out. But the problem was he fell in love, so he can't leave yet. It's a pretty good movie. It's a very clean movie. Anyway, little Johnny goes to him and says, hey, Music Man, teach me how to play this specific instrument. And he says, well, I don't know how to play it. Well, he didn't really admit that, but he says, I want you to think. Think the minuet in G. Think it. Think it, and you'll be able to play it. But when you think about doctrine, it is a lot that way, isn't it? How you think, the way you view doctrine, how you think about doctrine. That's why Paul says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. You see? If you start thinking on this world system and start thinking about these billboards and start thinking about all this stuff, you'll start heading that way, won't you? But this doctrine is supposed to be renewed in your mind. Get it into your mind. Think it. Think it. Work it down into your inner man. And let the Spirit of God make it a real thing in your life. Real quick, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. I won't go to all the verses that I was planning on. Ephesians chapter 3. hold your finger at verse 10 and flip over to verse 21. Actually, let's start in 17. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, let's start up where Dave was talking about last night. Let's go to 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. There we are in heaven right there. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's that word of Christ dwelling with you in you richly. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Jesus Christ, God the Father, is going to glorify Jesus Christ in you in the ages to come. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, that is a blessing. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of what? Now, what's Romans 8:18 say? For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory, what? So the same glory that we came short of is the same glory that's going to be revealed in us. Isn't that amazing? That it all by what? By grace. Now, turn over to verse 10. Don't get caught in that river and sucked down. Don't get caught there. And a saint can be caught in that river. You understand? He can. It doesn't mean he's not a saint. But verse 10, it says, to the intent that now... But let's start with verse 8. Unto me who is the least... am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Paul talking about his apostleship, that I should preach him among the heathen the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the what?
Church.
That's you. And me, if you're here and you've trusted Christ. By the church, the manifold wisdom of God. You ever thought of yourself that way? As you yield yourself to this heavenly doctrine that Paul's talking about, this doctrine that he was so moved by, Paul says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in who? In me. Oh, but, hey, God was being revealed in times past to the nation of Israel. Brother Yarbrough said they had the oracles of God. And in the ages of grace, Paul is our pattern. And now, as you've trusted Christ, did you know that you demonstrate to the angelic host the manifold wisdom of God? That is an unbelievable calling. What a calling. That is a heavenly calling. I love... What's the brother's name in California? I love what he said. I heard him say this once and it's never left my mind. And if you haven't, let me just tell you. I'm going to give him credit for it. You see that window right there? And let's say that all the curtains were drawn and you can't see out there. And we'll say that the curtains are the circumstances of your life. What you do is doctrine allows you to penetrate the curtains and see out the window into eternity. You see, it doesn't take the curtains away. Do you see the difference? But it allows you to view the curtains from a different standpoint. Doctrine is amazing. People say, well, doctrine's not practical. It's the most practical thing you could ever have. Do you see what I'm saying? But you got to get in it, and you got to study it, and you got to think about it, and you got to yield yourself to it. You got to let it, like Paul says. You could be a saint and not let it. Do you see? You got to let it. We got to look through that window, through the eyes and the lenses of an eternal doctrine. And I love what Paul does here in Galatians 6. He's talking about, Allison says, you better be careful what you say, because don't forget this is recorded. You ever thought about, anybody got a problem with their boss? Anybody got a problem with somebody that's working for them? Anybody got a problem with their spouse, with their kids? Isn't it interesting that Paul puts all these issues here in a book where he talks about God's purpose and grace? His eternal purpose and grace. Because we're to look at all these relationships from an eternal perspective. You ever thought about that? You know what I mean? Somebody comes home and says, I got a lousy boss. You know what I mean? Hey, put some eternal perspective to that boss. Don't pray that the boss gets removed. Pray that you will get the doctrine in your life to deal with your boss appropriately. You ever thought about that? Don't try to get the curtains out of the way. View the curtains the right way. Do you see? That to me is how this message of grace works. It takes all this hocus pocus out of it. It gives you a choice. You know what I mean? I don't see how Calvinists, how they could even come. To me, just like God would be unjust, right? If he didn't have his word here. Again, God would be unjust if he didn't give people a choice. You see, he gives you a choice. He'll even give them a choice in millennium. They'll come up and they'll go against him, even with him there. Literally in Jerusalem, they'll still go against him, won't they? I mean, it's that people love to reject him. That's what they do. They profess themselves to be wise, they become fools, don't they? They stand in their wisdom. Cleanse yourself, cleanse your practice with your position. One last verse, turn over to, and then we'll move on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. I got in my verse in my Bible, no lordship salvation. It says here, are ye light in the Lord? You're in the Lord. Now he says, because you're in the Lord and you're children of light, walk that way. Do you see how it is? This word, you should take it, and it really should cut you. Really, when you start reading it, it is power. I mean, another thing I love about grace, it allows you to be honest. Do you see? I love what he said last night. Legalism creates just layers and layers of excuses, like he was talking about, and layers of hiding. You see? They have to, because they're over in 1 John and they know some of those things about 1 John, those absolutes in 1 John, and they know that they got to apply that. They cannot, for a moment, kind of let you know what they act like at home. Do you see? They can't, for a moment, tell you how they yelled at their wife last week. Do you see what I'm saying? They can't, for a moment, tell you what they're thinking in their mind. You know what I mean? How they might not have killed somebody, but they would love to kill them. Do you see my point? But grace allows you to be honest. It tells you, hey, I know that in and of myself, there's no good thing, Paul says. But it's got to be, hey, I can fulfill the righteousness of the law, not in the flesh, but as I walk in the Spirit. Do you see? It allows you to be honest and allows you to admit shortcomings. And all of us can do that. That's why Paul says over in Galatians 6, he that is spiritual, you see what I'm saying? In other words, a guy that's thinking correctly, a guy that's walking correctly, hey, don't be so quick to throw that guy under the bus. Take him up and get him to see this stuff. Now, I'm not saying there's never a time you don't deal with something. Paul dealt with something over in Corinth, didn't he? Where he had to get that guy out of the assembly. But we can't throw each other a bus. We gotta try to pick each other up. He that is spiritual. Cleanse yourself by the practice with your position. Or cleanse your practice with your position. The second one, cleanse yourself by valuing your spiritual riches. I'll move quickly through this one. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. I love this verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, I won't go through all the spiritual blessings, but you guys know them, hopefully. That you're blessed in Christ. Don't you love that Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hold your hand over Philippians 4 and go back to Ephesians 2. Verse 7, right before 8 and 9. See, we lift 8 and 9 out of the passage. And I think 8 and 9 is great. I'm not saying you can't lift it out of the passage and use it as a witness verse. But when you look at it in order here, look at 7. It says that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you're saved. How is He going to demonstrate His exceeding riches and His kindness? Because He saved you by grace. In other words, you're a trophy of His grace. In the ages to come, He'll put you on display and you'll be revealing, you'll be the display of Christ's glory and His riches in heavenly places. And it'll always be known that you were saved by grace. And you'll always be a display of His infinite mercy and His infinite grace. Do you see that? It's right there in the passage. But turn back over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind what? Earthly things. Now, is it possible for a saved believer to mind earthly things? Absolutely it is. Are we to? What's Colossians chapter 3? If ye then be risen with Christ, since you are, because you are, set your what? On what? Not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. What I'm trying to say is, in order for us to value these spiritual blessings, we can't mind the earth. We have to have a spiritual mindset. Otherwise, we're more worried about our TSP. That's our federal. That's where I work, is our federal retirement. I'm more worried about whether my stocks are going up. And meanwhile, if Jerry Jones isn't saved, maybe Jerry will listen to this. Jerry, if you're not saved, believe in Christ right now. It's death, burial, and resurrection. Who owns the Dallas Cowboys? He's got this crazy stadium he built. He's poor as a pauper. Right. Do you see? Right. And yet, rich as can be. But if I don't start to, again, I can take all those riches and almost, I never could lose them, but I almost could not even allow them to work in my life. Do you see? I could mope around. I love what he said last night about feeling sorry for yourself. I could take it and shoot it in the head, he said. There's some truth to that. Shoot it in the head with doctrine. Do you see? You got everything in Christ Jesus. But if you mind the earth, and if you don't value those spiritual riches like the Corinthians, if you're thinking carnal, it's almost as if you don't have them. You see what I'm saying? You got them. Don't get me wrong. You got them. But you got to value them and walk in them. Look over to 2 Corinthians. I was a foolish, foolish man when we first got married. I'm still a fool. We first got married. I don't know what my problem was. We bought this new house. We were so proud because we bought this new house and we were so young, right out of college. And I told Allison, I said, I want the carpet vacuumed a certain way. And I would take the vacuum cleaner and I wanted it to go straight and then pull back so it fluffs up. You know what I mean? And this is how crazy I was. I went out and I bought all this new furniture, 1 year, same as cash. You got 1 year to pay it off. And I didn't even want anybody to sit on the couch. Do you see? I mean, what was I valuing? Do you see what I'm saying? I had a nice house. You see what I'm saying? What do you got? What if you live? I often tell my children, if you come home and tell me, Dad, I'm a NASA astronaut, and they chose me to fly to the moon. But you know what? I'm really doubting this whole thing about the Bible. I'm a failure, I'd say. You're a failure. What do you? I would be nice to him. But what in the world? But if they come home and tell me, Daddy, that I just got hired as the janitor of the school and I clean the toilets. But you know what? I'm letting Christ dwell in me richly. I'd say, praise the Lord. Do you see how backwards we are? We're backwards, aren't we? We can't think like that. We got this doctrine. We got this heavenly doctrine. Hey, it's more than a chart. It's alive. Amen. And He wants you to yield your life to it. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9.
You didn't have a grandmother that took plastic over a furniture?
No, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What verse do you have?
Verse 9. Thank you, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye, yeah, your sakes, that's right, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You're rich in spiritual blessings, but we got to value them. Don't wait. What David was saying last night is don't wait till you get sick to value them. Value them now. Teach your kids now. Start a church now. I love what he said. Cleanse yourself now. You are cleansed, so cleanse yourself with this word. Do it now. Do it now. It's high time, Paul says. It's time to wake out of sleep. Our salvation is near the day we believe. I love, one thing I love more, there's so many things I love about Christ. People are all ate up with this prophecy. It's all they want to talk about. It's looking for signs of the end times, wars and rumors of wars. And they don't even read the context of Matthew 24. You know what I mean? They're ate up with it. It's all they want to talk about. One thing I love is there's nothing that needs to happen for the catching up to occur. Amen. It's right here. It could happen now. It could happen tomorrow. And Paul lived that way, and we need to live that way. Do you see? But a lot of times we kick the can down the road, don't we? Kick it down the road. Kick it down the road. Kick it down the road. I won't spend much more time on my second point. Let's move quickly to third and I'll wrap it up. Cleanse your earthly circumstances with your heavenly purpose. Turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. Verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we are born, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. There's a day, Paul's talking about the context of the resurrection, is this whole thing he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians. But we are not earthy people anymore, are we? And one day we're going to be clothed, Paul talks about, with that clothing from heaven. What a blessing that is. But my whole point is we can walk in that now. Paul talks about at the end of this whole chapter, turn to the very end of 1 Corinthians 15. There he is with my beloved again. Don't you love that? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. This should be us, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? Because Christ is risen from the dead. Your faith is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. That's the context there. Because Christ raised from the dead. We're always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. We don't know when it's going to happen. It can happen anytime. I'll turn real quick. This was a passage that David went to last night. I love this passage. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Aren't you glad if you have a flat tire that you know that God's not after you?
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? I mean, did you have peace with God? That is the most amazing thing in the world. Again, we take that and we throw that in the trash sometimes from a practical standpoint. Peace with Almighty Creator God. The absence of all hostility. We'd rather have peace with Ahmadinejad than have peace with God. Do you see my point? We got peace with God no matter what this crazy guy does. We have peace with Almighty God. What an amazing... And he says in verse 16, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. How's it renewed? By studying, by doctrine. For our light affliction. I love that. I love that. That's what he was talking about last night. That's those curtains that David was talking about, or the gentleman from California. That's those curtains. You view those curtains as light affliction. The doctrine changes the way you look at things. It changes the way you look at things. You have an eternal perspective, a heavenly purpose. Turn quickly to Ephesians 1:18. In Ephesians 1:18, it says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Paul is wanting to pray that these believers here in Ephesus begin to comprehend, begin to know, begin to think about this great thing that he's God's purpose and grace. You know, you're saved by grace, then he's got a purpose and grace that he's going to glorify, the Father is going to glorify the Son in you. In the ages to come, in the world without end. Amen. That is a calling, is it not? But my whole point to you is this. That calling is not just for then, although it is. It's to impact us when? Now. Now. That is amazing. Hey, get some muddy shoes and go and just chomp your carpet all up. It don't even matter. You see? Now, if you want to have nice carpet, have nice carpet. I'm not against that. But my point is, put the carpet where it's supposed to be. You see what I'm saying? Get things where they're supposed to be in perspective. We're an eternal people. Look at verse 18 here at the very end. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You're going to get Christ's inheritance in heavenly places. He's going to get it through you. That is unbelievable. The same reprobate fool that was in Romans chapter 3 that had come short of the glory of God, whose mouth was an open sepulcher, who was swift to shed blood. That was us. Do you see? Now, if we don't watch it, we can still act like that, can't we? But we got to yield ourselves to this great doctrine in the inner man. We got to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. We got to be filled, controlled by the Spirit. We got to, in a practical standpoint, let this Word cleanse us, although we're cleansed in a positional standpoint. Let this Word come into us. You can be honest with yourself. I don't have to pretend, you see? I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I don't have to justify my behavior. I was wrong. I'm forgiven, you see? It doesn't. Your sins are... You never lose fellowship. Right. Fellowship and salvation is one and the same. Never. It doesn't. But you can identify something in your life and say, I was wrong. I'm forgiven for it, but I was wrong. You see? Now let this viewpoint of doctrine come in, do a work in me, and work out of me toward everybody. Towards the unbelieving world, and again, I think our first ministry is the family. You know, we know that God's not working nationally through nations anymore. He's working individually. And everyone wants to talk about America being cursed because they've turned their back on Israel. That's another thing I'll tell you real quick and I'll close. When I went to New York, my first duty station with the government was in New York, Brooklyn, New York. And my first introduction to some dispensationalism was at a place called Bethel Baptist Fellowship. The pastor was Jim Bickle, a wonderful teacher and preacher, filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. But one thing I couldn't understand was, he was dispensational, but he was dispensational and he faulted to the default of the Jews. You understand? In other words, he went to Brooklyn with the under the commission to the Jew first and also to the Greek there in Romans chapter 2 there. And so he was there, and Jews were given a special place there. We viewed them there as kind of above us. And I was so thankful my father began to teach me this, where I began to see that, hey, all of sin and come short of God. That the unbelieving Jew, if we had the chart up here, had fell and joined the nations of the world in unbelief, and they were considered Gentiles now as well. And those unbelieving Jews fall under the apostleship of the or fall under the message and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And and when they're saved, they become part of the church, the body of Christ. And there is no difference. What a wonderful thing. But my whole point to you is this. If you want to fix a country, I mean, you could fix it by individuals, number one, trusting Christ, and number two, yielding themselves to the Word. You could fix a church that way. You see what I'm saying? If you got an assembly, and there's a lot of carnal believers in your assembly, you could fix it that way. Do you see? All it would take is individuals to make a choice to let it have its way in your life, to yield yourself, and you could... I'm not saying he's going to heal our land, all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about all that. But my point is, you see nations and communities crumbling because nations and communities have gotten that river and they're flowing right down it. They've subjected themselves, and I'm sad to say, believers have. Believers have subjected themselves to that river and to that philosophy. They don't like doctrine. They don't believe we have a Bible that's preserved. They don't believe in a creation. They don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. They don't believe in the wisdom of God. So that was a challenge I had to you today. 3 points. Cleanse your practice with your position. Cleanse yourself by valuing spiritual riches. Cleanse your earthly circumstances with your heavenly purpose. Real quick, do you remember last year we did this? I want to do it again. Turn your Bibles to Galatians 2:20. Allison, could you come up here real quick? My dad says to me, he says, John, I don't have much time left on this earth. He says, I want people to say that he let the Christ live in him. I want people to say it was Christ living in me. Do you see? And that should be who is that coming out of you? Is that your flesh? Or is that the life of Christ being manifested in your flesh? I love football, and there's something called a shutdown corner in football. You can guard almost half the field. I love Philippians where it says, let your conversation, what does it say? Be as of the gospel of Christ, doesn't it? If you think about that, that's a shutdown verse. Everything you do, is that the life of Christ coming out of me? Or is that my flesh? It's pretty easy to tell, actually, if you're honest with yourself. But grace, again, allows you to be honest with yourself. Galatians 2:20, stand if you would with me. And we're going to sing this verse once through. And then you guys can sing it with us. To me, there's not a better thing to do than to sing a verse. And there's not a better thing to do than to sing a verse that has the King James, this King James Bible where it talks about the faith of Christ. And it's not a better thing to do. I can't sing, but they can. That's why I have them up here. I'm tone deaf. But we're going to sing it through real quick, and then you can sing it with us. Are you ready?
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me, oh glory. Loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Are you ready? One time and then we'll pray. Everybody now.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me, oh glory. Loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Father, we thank you for your great grace, your great love, your infinite mercy, dear Lord. Lord, my prayer, and I hope is the prayer of these saints, that it would be Christ being manifest in our mortal flesh. Our life liveth in me, dear Lord. We know he's there, but Lord, may we yield ourselves to his working in our lives, in us as he works out of us, dear Lord. We wouldn't walk according to this world, but according to you and your work in us. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's preserved. You kept your promises, dear Lord. You saved us by grace. You've washed us and justified us, cleansed us. Now, dear Lord, help us in a practical way to put this word a work in our lives and keep our eternal perspective. Thank you for all you've done for us and all that you're going to do in us now and in the ages to come. In your name I pray, amen. Amen.